Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Now time for a very brain-scratching edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass on to your friends, and which games to simply run on by, hop on that brain, jump through a teleporter, do you, I promise you, do you. I'm not finishing that statement. I am Corey. I am joined by... I'm Basher. It's this guy.
Wow. You got nothing this time. This is rare, and I'm a bit offended. I'm not going to lie to you.
This game is just so out there that, like, I just couldn't.
That out there? It seems pretty out there. It seems pretty in there.
It's pretty out there. I don't know what to tell you. We are going to be talking about Double Fine's Psychonauts today. That's what we do on this podcast. We talk about video games. And then that's it. That's what we do. We go home. I'm going to make some salmon later with some rice.
Yo, what's with you and the salmon, man? You be killing the salmon.
It's good for you.
And you're in, like, Indiana. Like, it can't be fresh.
No, but you'd actually be surprised. Like, frozen salmon is gross. Pretty good.
I agree. Disgusting? Absolutely.
No. First of all, you don't bake it, okay? You pressure cook it. That really helps get rid of that frozen taste. I'm not saying that it doesn't taste like frozen salmon, but you can get pretty close and it's significantly cheaper.
Listen, guy, I'm from Boston, all right? I don't know what you're talking about. We can't catch our cod around here.
You can't do that air frying thing. The problem with frozen salmon is that it's too dry, but pressure cooking it really helps. That's all I'm going to say.
You're wrong, but whatever.
No, I'm not. You haven't even tried it, have you? Do you even own a pressure cooker?
I'm going to buy one and not use it to make salmon. How about that?
Why would you buy it?
Out of spite?
That's not spite at that point. That is not what we're going to talk about. We're going to be talking about Psychonauts. But before that, if you want to let us know what you think about frozen salmon, did you know you can call us and leave a voicemail and all those fun things? You can choose a text message. We'll read them. We'll talk about them. 574-651-9256. Or gpopfans@gmail.com. Both are ways to get a hold of us. Pick up your phone right now, whatever you're doing. Pick up that phone. I want to know exactly what you think about salmon and frozen salmon and why Basher is wrong. But let's talk about Psychonauts. Here are the deets on this game. Developed by Double Fine Games, which I don't know why, but I keep forgetting that Microsoft bought them. Microsoft now owns Double Fine, so this is technically a Microsoft game now. It was obviously made a long time ago before they purchased it. But they're also known for games like Broken Age, Day of the Tentacle, Grim Fandango, and Brutal Legend. Regularly priced at $9.99 on the Xbox Store as well as the Windows Store. It's available on PC, Xbox One. It is available on Xbox Series X and S via backwards compatibility. All of the original Xbox games do get those Xbox One X enhancements, so if you had a Series X or a S, you'll get some of those as well. No crossplay because there's no multiplayer. No cloud saves, but that really there's no, you can't really play this on other platforms. So actually, I want, maybe I might be wrong. I'm gonna look that up. I'm gonna look that up right now. Live fact checking.
If you can play it other places,
I want to know if your PC transfer, PC save transfers to Xbox and vice versa. Not that anyone would probably do that, but I don't want to give off wrong information. That's not what I'm about.
Like, yeah, we're not CNN or Fox News.
We're not any major media outlet. If you want to do a buyout, let me know. $10 billion, and you could own this podcast.
We're starting to bid at $10
billion? $10 billion, yep. There is no cross save, so bummer. All right. So there's also no DLC for this game. Psychonauts. This is kind of a unique one because this is a very popular game. Came out in 2005. And not to popular a lot of enough. Praise, maybe not. I mean, this is a game that a lot of people talk about, and it is finally getting a sequel. But I mean, for the most part, it got, you know, eights and nines, you know, and that's for a platformer that didn't have Mario on the front of it. That's pretty rare in those times.
Or Sonic. So,
sure. Maybe Sonic Colors. I don't.
Especially Sonic Colors, Sonic Generations, just all the Sonic games.
Sonic Generations was fantastic. Sure, but that's was. Like the only one from that. Like, I know some people like Unleashed, but not really my thing. So, Psychonauts is a platforming game. It is wacky. It is weird. You play Raz, who's a young boy who's gifted with psychic abilities. He basically sneaks into a summer camp where they teach you how to be a psychonaut, which is using your brain to basically spy and control people. And let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. So I did not play this game when it first came out. I was not very, I'm very particular with my platformers. Like, it's, I'm one of the people who acknowledges, I understand that Mario games are phenomenal. They're amazing. They're great. I don't like them. Like, they just don't resonate with me. There are some games like Ratchet and Clank where I will almost buy a system for it. But it's just, so like, they're really hit and miss with me personally. So when I saw Psychonauts first come out, I'm just like, I'll pick that up eventually. And I turned it to never. And I think at the time it got a lot of kind of, it almost had that, like, that indie buzz to it. And at the time it was just turning me off a bit. I just didn't think it would have the gameplay and the meat and the bones, if you will, here. And having started this game up, the first hour or so, I still felt that kind of way, where it wasn't really grabbing me, per se. It's a slow build, and it has a very Double Fine charm to it, which, depending on who you are, that's hit or miss. So it's a lot. It's very funny, very quirky. It looked like the look of it is even very unique. It for me, it took a while to get started. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I have a somewhat similar feeling to platformers. Like, I tend to like 3D platformers versus 2D, unless it's like the classic, you know, Mega Man X's and stuff like that. But most modern platformers, I tend to stick to 3D. But it takes a lot for me to get into a platform for kind of the opposite reason of what you said. Like, you know, Mario is nowhere near my favorite game, but anytime there's a new Mario, I'm going to check it out. I absolutely love Super Mario 64. I love, like, the original Super Mario Galaxy is one of my all-time, like, favorite experiences. I think the second one is one of the best games ever made. Like, it would probably be in, like, a top 20 for me. But it takes a lot for me to pick up a platformer because Mario games come out so far in between that it always feels fresh. You know, it's, and for platformers, I don't always get that feeling. And so I don't play a lot of things that are not Mario in the platforming realm. Like, I've tried stuff like Yooka-Laylee and Banjo-Kazooie and stuff like that from sort of the same era, or try to be in that same era. and just never clicked with me. I did enjoy like Donkey Kong 64, but that took a while for me to get there. And the reason I say all that is because I think one reason why I always resonate with Mario and some of these games I don't is because Mario is so good at, in the first 5 minutes, you're going to be having fun.
Agreed.
And that's, I'm with you in that Psychonauts, the gameplay was not pushing me forward in that first hour by any means. It was sheer weirdness of the game. Like the locations that you go to are just very strange in a good way. You know, I think you can overdo it, and not to say this game isn't overdone, but Tim Schafer just has a style. Double Fine has a style, and I don't think it always hits for everybody, but this one kind of hit for me. I think this was actually their like debut title after, because Schafer used to be LucasArts, you know, because Grim Fandango and Day of the Tentacle and stuff like that. Like, those were LucasArts games, and I believe this was like his first foray out of it. I know like this and Brutal Legend were supposed to be kind of his big games. Didn't really like Brutal Legend, but so it took me a while, kind of similar to you, and honestly, if it wasn't for the show, I might not have pushed past it, but I did. And once I got to like that third hour, it really started clicking for me. Once you like actually start getting to play the game, you start getting powers, you start seeing all the different ways that you can platform it, and the way that it actually has some extremely smart design of looking forward and sort of bucking some trends, as well as not falling into some traps that other platforming games can have. But yeah, I'm with you in that I don't think it makes the best debut gameplay wise, but it is such a striking presentation that it was enough to keep me going.
I completely agree with the sentiment of if it wasn't for the show, I would not push past it. And especially the 3 hour mark. I think it takes about that long before you get a real handle on, first of all, that's when the game kind of lets you go. Also, that's when they stop throwing so many tutorials at you, and
yeah. A lot of tutorials.
Just along the way you learn, it's just, and it's one of those things, it's like an evil necessity, you know, because it's like it needs to be done. And I want to say Double Fine does a good job of making it humorful, like just making it funny and sweet and charming. But it's a rough go it was a rough go for me personally. I like to pick up a game and just go. And very few games let you do that. This is definitely one of those games that don't let you do that. But when you start to go, you start to learn those new powers, those new abilities, and you start to switch out with them like mid combat and get that arsenal. It starts to really flow, and I think that's when the gameplay started to click for me, and that's when I started to turn on the game in a good way.
Yeah, it sounds like we had a similar situation. Like, what I find super strange is that the leveling system is kind of weird. Like, there's basically like these holograms around the world that you can pick up, and every time you pick up enough to get 100 points, you level up. But when you level up, that doesn't mean that you gain a new ability. Like, you only get new abilities, is it every like 20 levels or something? It's either 10 or 20 levels, something like that. So you're picking up stuff for a while, but it's a weird thing. Like, it's almost like they looked at coins from Mario, which have a historic, for the most part, a historic past of not really doing anything. And they looked at that and were like, well, we want you to be able to pick up coins, but we want you to be able to have them do something. But in some cases, I think less is more. Like, I don't know if picking up all those holograms were a good thing or a bad thing, but they're kind of essential because you need them to unlock some of the, I think it's telekinesis is the first one that you get, or maybe you get that automatically. There's one of the abilities that you get, maybe it's the fire, pyrokinesis or pyrotechnics, whatever it's called. And so without that, like, if you're not doing that, then you can miss out on powers, and the powers are the best part of the game. You know, they really do change up the flow of the game, like you said, in terms of how you're tackling situations. But the game really hits its stride in the middle point when stuff like levitation is, it changes everything. Like, the level design, the platforming, it all just completely changes with these abilities. But I just find it super strange that they're introduced extremely late,
And I don't like the way they introduced either. Like, the idea of collecting these weird holograms, which turns into currency. Like, at the end of the day, everything turns into currency in some shape or form. And
which is weird. Like, it's like a weird, because that's like modern day, like, six currencies. And this game came out in 2005, and it has no microtransactions, like, obviously, like, bolted into it. But it almost feels like it does.
Right.
It's very strange.
And a lot of it is just kind of currency management. Like, because, like, there are about three or four different currencies, but only two of them matter. So you're kind of collecting enough of currency A to turn into currency B, because currency A and B turns into currency C, and that's how you buy your abilities, and it's like, or your equipment. And it kind of dragged on experience for me a little bit, because like Mario, or even Sonic for that matter, like, well, Sonic not necessarily because it's sort of your health, but any sort of collectible, they kind of don't matter for the most part. But in this case, it's like, if you don't collect these, you will miss out on power-ups. And they almost there are certain power-ups that are needed to pass certain parts of the game. So at that point, it just becomes a lot of digging for resources, a lot of mining for currency. And it creates it slows down what ends up being at times a very fun, smooth gameplay process.
Yeah, it's also strange in that I think the game sort of knows that, because at first, like, the guitar pick things, the pink, I think, yeah, guitar picks, I don't remember.
The arrowheads.
Arrowheads, yeah, I knew that wasn't right. Like, at first they barely give you those. And then you go to the store, and I don't remember what the item is, but it's like 250 of these guitar picks or arrowheads, or maybe it was even like 500. And I was just like, I got like seven, like what's going on here? And then as you progress through the game and you get to later levels, they start dropping those way more. So it's like, why do you want me to like try to farm these in sort of the overworld if you're just going to kind of dump them on me? So like, it's just got a lot of weird old design like that, but a lot of it just feels like it's specifically deliberate to make sure that you're always progressing somewhere. Like, you're not just progressing via the world like a star count or anything. You're just always progressing to try to get something new to keep pushing the story forward. But I think a lot of that it's distracting, because like you said, the main plot lines of the game, like the bosses and the way that things are introduced, and it's good. Like, I really enjoy that stuff. And at first I thought maybe that the meat of the game was going to be this sort of collectathon and having to get all of these different things. But it turns out, no, like, the actual heart of the story is there, and that's the best part, but it's a little hard to get to. Like, you really have to sort of bootstrap and just sort of force your way through. Because there is like a little overworld, and it's not the easiest to navigate with the map and everything. Like, it just has a lot of old trappings, I guess you could say, or old game design that stand in its way, it's bound to happen with a game that's 15 years old, but it just sort of sticks out here.
Oh, absolutely. I think that was the hardest thing to get over, was the trappings of a 15-year-old game. Because once you get past that, it's a very charming experience. I'm not by any means a huge Double Fine fan. Most of their games, especially later on, they were a little too self-aware, if you will, for my taste. I very much enjoyed this experience, but yeah, the trappings are definitely there for a 15-year-old game. I got stuck very early on when it came to finding Agent Crowler. Crowler, I forgot his name,
in like the science lab or whatever.
Yeah, because you have to, because essentially we have to do is find this guy in the underground lab, and it's in a tree. They're in tree trunks. It's just jump down a tree trunk.
It's like a fast travel almost system.
Exactly. So, and it's like they introduced the fast travel system to you in the tutorial missions, but they introduced them in a way where you see a kind of cutesy leaf shaped character, and it's like in the open, so you talk to him and then he'll fast travel you. However, in the open world and not or the open area, you don't see him it's a different fast travel system. It's a, you have to jump down a tree trunk, and then you get into a mining cart, and then you pick where you want to go. I spent a good 30, 40 minutes having no idea where to go, where to find this guy, because I'm looking for the little leaf guy, but you just have to kind of jump, like, just think to jump down one of these trees. And I just never put it together. Maybe I missed something here, but it's really things like that that frustrate me with the game more so than anything else.
No, I only discovered that because once it sort of let me out into that, I don't want to call it open world because that's not what it is, but sort of the hub world.
You're right.
I just was kind of exploring, and it's weirdly gated. Like, you get into that hub world and you can kind of go wherever you want, but then they'll put like artificial gates of just like you can't go here right now. There'll be like two people standing on this bridge where I need to go. And so it's strange, but I also didn't know if it was going to be a linear game or like a more open game. And so I only found that tree trunk thing because I was just sort of exploring. And so I definitely could see if you're trying to be more mainline and you have not played this game before, you could very easily, I think, run into the same issue that you did of things not being explained well. Because, no, I don't think it ever explained it to me either about these tree trunks. And that's the only way you can get to some places at all. So it's kind of strange. But, I mean, I feel like we're dogging on the game a lot right now. But I do want to emphasize that, like, the story is... it's fine. I don't love it, but it was enough to sort of push me through. But I think it is definitely backloaded versus front-loaded. I think the initial sort of hook is okay, but I think it does wrap up pretty nicely. But I really want to talk about, like, the levitation. The levitation skill is really when the game sort of clicked for me.
Right.
It became a game that I was – yeah, a game that I was not sure if I was going to finish. I wasn't hating my time, but I wasn't – it was not a Mario experience for me. I was not just dying to see what was next. You know, like I wasn't dying to see what the next world was going to be, anything like that. But then the levitation, and it's just such a cool level. Like, it's almost like a giant pinball arena, you know, like you're constantly jumping up things, and they do a very good job of making sure that you don't get frustrated with it. And which is strange, because I still think modern platform games do this, but like, you're constantly kind of going up this silo or building up to get to the end of this area. But it's smart in that every little place gives you a checkpoint. So that way, in case if you do get to the top, you fall, you can just jump on this little platform and it boosts you right back up to where you were. So, like, I wanted a lot more of that stuff. And all of that is in there, but there's just too much in between to get to it. It was enough that it wasn't enough to turn me off, but it was enough that I was just like, I really wish you'd just let me play. Like, show me the good content. I feel like you're sort of elongating the game for no real reason.
Yeah, I make the joke about Sonic a lot. I mean, but I honestly do believe one of the best things Sonic does is it just lets you go. Like, as soon as the game starts, you're running fast. Like, it's a joke, but it's what you do. Like, and a lot of platformers, especially, are a victim to wait until you get this ability and then the game will click. And it's like, that's when pacing becomes a huge issue for me. And that's one thing, that's one way to kind of gatekeep me from enjoying an experience. But I would say, Psychonauts is one of those experiences that's so strong in the back end that the minor hiccups on the way there are perfectly digestible. Like, they don't hinder the overall experience. And by the end of your playthrough, you would have thought, wow, I should have played this when it first came out. Like, because at least then it would have definitely sparked something special for you then. Like this being a 15-year-old game, a 15-year-old 3D game, it definitely, some of the charm is lost just in time.
Yeah, for sure. And this is a sort of beloved game. You know, that's one reason why I want to check it out, because people that like this game really, really like this game. And I get it. Like, I totally get it. Like, I don't think it is nearly as strong as those people probably think it is. But I understand that if you played this game when it came out, you know, like it's the same reason why I can still play Mega Man X, and I think it's top five game ever made.
Sure,
like,
is.
But I understand that if you play that now and you just don't have that resonance for when that game came out, what it meant to you, etc., meant to a lot of people actually, then you might not see it. But I totally see why in 2005, if this game would have come out, there really isn't nothing and anything like it. I still think even in 2005 standards, I think it's a victim of its own pacing. I think it's a victim of if there was less of this game, I think you could chalk it up to one of the best platformers ever made. But like it genuinely does some really fun, unique, cool things. But there's a lot of just not good in there too, of gating you, of there's even like fetch quests sometimes, like you were talking about finding the scientist, and then like you finally get to him and you do a mission, and then he's like, go to this other person real quick, and I'm like, why? Like just let me keep playing.
But that's
like,
where it gets to that Double Fine sense of humor and perspective that I just don't resonate with well with. They do that in a lot of their games where they almost address the issue of gameplay, but they address it with humor. Therefore, we addressed it. Ha ha. It's like, no, it's still something I don't like. So like, so if you like Double Fine at all, like this is probably for me peak Double Fine. Like this is just Double Fine all the way through. And for better and for worse, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you in that Double Fine doesn't always click with me. I really like Grim Fandango, which I guess that technically isn't a Double Fine game, but it is what it is. I like that game a lot. I never played Broken Age. I always liked the look of it, but it just never clicked. It was nothing that never anything that was just like calling out to me. So I played they had a Kinect game. I don't remember what it was called now. It's gonna bug me. What was that game called? It was like you were like a sheriff or something.
Okay, sure.
God, what was the name of that game? I'm trying to look it up real quick. I can't find it. Maybe it wasn't even them. Maybe I made that. This is great.
I will say I did not like Broken Age. It wasn't terrible. It just wasn't. It was one of those adventure games that was more about the story than the gameplay. Like it was definitely. It was definitely like someone's first adventure game, almost like in terms of the player's point of view. Like it wasn't very challenging or thought provoking during in gameplay, which is something you desperately need in an adventure game of that style.
Yeah, that was one of their like Kickstarter games too. I think like that was one of the first big Kickstarter products, I believe. So, and I know that was sort of played into a lot of it as well, but no, that was one like I when it came out I was like this looks really cool, but it came out in two parts and I was like, I'm gonna wait till the whole thing is out, and then it just became one of those things I never got back to. So I do like The Cave. I know they made that. The Cave is pretty good. So, but they definitely have a style, and I think this is one of their better ones. So but when it comes to Game Pass or Pass, how do we feel about it?
This is one of those experiences where I'm delighted to say that by the end of, like, my feelings changed positively for it. I started off this game with a sort of hesitation of, like, I know I'm not going to enjoy this, or I feel like I'm not going to enjoy this. And then I sort of made a self-fulfilling prophecy, like, an hour in, like, yep, knew I wasn't going to like this. Because of this podcast and what we do here, like I pushed through, and again, when I got Levitation about 2-3 hours in, I'm like, I get it. This is gonna be a fun one, and it definitely was. So I definitely say pass this on to a friend.
Yeah, I think I can say that too. I don't think I'm as strong on it as some of the fans are. I understand where they're coming from, but I don't think that the flaws of the game can be ignored. I still think in 2005 those flaws would have been pretty Not that it would have, like, tanked the game. Like, I'm not saying the game didn't deserve the eights and nines and, you know, and et cetera. I'm saying that that's kind of a good score. I think I understand it, where people were coming from that reviewed it, et cetera, that don't love it kind of thing. But I definitely think it's worth playing. So, and I'm glad I played it because that Psychonauts 2 is coming out at some point. I believe it got pushed out of this year now. I think that's what happened. Let me look here. It's planned for release in 2021. They further delayed it to 2021, which will allow for an Xbox Series X optimized version to be released. So this might be E3 is coming up. That's weird to say. And a couple weeks here, so I'm wondering if they're going to start talking about that game, because with that being a Microsoft game, it'll hit Game Pass day one. So, but no, so. I'm glad I played it because I want to jump into Psychonauts 2 and hopefully they've fixed a lot of those issues that I have with it. So, but there you go. When it comes to Psychonauts on Game Pass or Pass, pass it on, play it, pass it on to your friends, have a good time with it. Just to kind of know what you're getting into. Maybe we should just stop saying that because I feel like you should say that with I say that with everything. Know what you're getting into. I think at this point you probably know what you're getting into.
I mean, yeah, or save it for the very special, like, weird ones. This is a sort of straightforward platformer. Like, I think most people will enjoy it eventually.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Probably a topic for a different time, but you know, I have to wonder if platformers tend to resonate better with people if they're more Mario-esque in that they just sort of let you go right away. You're going to be running and jumping in Mario. That's all you need. And they definitely introduce things along the way, but they're smart about getting you in the action quickly, where this is kind of the opposite. So topic for another time, but there you go. Psychonauts, play it. Have a good old time. When it comes to the future, I think we have decided we're going to be playing some Knockout City. I've been playing a lot of Knockout City, so we're going to be talking about that at some point. But I think that's all we really have decided at this point. Unless there's something that you're looking at, something you're looking forward to.
You hyped me up for Knockout City, honestly. Like, I mean, you said it's Disc Jam-esque, so that's all I need
very
to know.
So.
I do want to give this Celesta Crown of the Magister a try.
I saw that, and I don't think it's on console, unfortunately. I have it at the moment, but let me look at it here. Maybe. I might be able to run this, actually, so we'll see. Maybe we'll give that a shot. So that's the only thing that's really coming out. I still do want to give Steep a try. I just been busy, haven't gotten to it. So there's not a lot. I think Microsoft is holding back for E3. I thought about asking, should we do like an E3 reaction episode, like a bonus episode?
I think making a gaming podcast, we're kind of have to. I don't think we have an option. E3 is a thing.
I mean, I'm excited that E3 is back for sure, because like it's something that I always do every summer, you know, like looking forward to it. Unfortunately, it's so spread out now. Like I can't invite people over. I mean, I guess I could, but that was just kind of what we did. You know, E3's a 2-day thing. You've got three going one day, three going the next day, and then you get pizza in between, you get some ice cream in between, and then you just have a good old time. But now it's so spread out, you can't do that anymore. But let me look at when Microsoft's E3 presentation is. June 13th at 10 a.m., which is a Sunday. So that's coming up pretty quick. They're going to be talking a lot there about Game Pass for sure. That is still their big thing. They're going to be talking about Starfield. They're going to be talking about Halo. So also we do need to get back to, we got to finish those Halo games, before Halo Infinite comes out. So we got to put those in the docket as well. We're almost done. We only got a couple games left. So, but when Halo Infinite got delayed, we delayed that. So, but it'll be interesting. So yeah, maybe we'll do an E3 reaction episode just to kind of spice things up and talk about what we felt about their Game Pass plans, et cetera, et cetera. But, all right, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll see you next time probably with Knockout City or something along those lines. You can shoot us an email, gpopfans@gmail.com. Give us a call, 574-651-9256. Text us there, shoot us an email, send us a voicemail, whatever you want. Rate us on your favorite podcast service. It really does help. I promise you it does. But that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We will see you next time.
Good day, sirs.
Hippity hop. I'm a kangaroo. All right.